If you enjoyed Radio Eco Shock, that clip that we just heard from Alex Wise, we do air that show every fourth Saturday of the month as part of our weekend Heartbeat Collective. At 1 o'clock. So if you liked what you heard from Alex Wise, please consider tuning in again on the fourth Saturday of each month at 1 o'clock. So thank you for listening to TUC Radio. And we do air that show every Thursday at 5 o'clock on WEFT Community Radio, which is followed by See You at the Show coming up next. Stay with us after that for Surfabilly Freakout at 6. And we have a new show starting tonight that's actually not a new show. It's just a moved show. 500 Miles from Memphis, which has been airing on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings from 5 to 6 a.m., has now moved into prime time at 7 p.m. That'll be followed by Roots, Rock, and Reggae at 8, and then Get in Your Jammies at 10. So this week's presentation of See You at the Show is an encore presentation of last week's show. Unfortunately, our hosts, Eric and Linda, couldn't be here tonight. So we're going to hear, as I mentioned, an encore presentation of last week's See You at the Show. Thanks again so much for listening to WEFT Champaign. I hope you have a good and healthy, safe evening.
Warm music at 7, Roots, Rock, and Reggae at 8 p.m., and Get in Your Jammies at 10. Welcome to See You at the Show. This is Eric Schacht, and I'm here with my co-host Linda Evans. We have a packed show today. We're going to try to cover three major happenings coming in the CU theater community, first of which is Steel Magnolias, which is coming up at Parkland College opening next week. I have the director, Jenny Grand, with me today, along with actresses Gretchen Krieger and Maggie Kinneman. Welcome to See You at the Show.
Thank you.
How are you doing, Jenny? It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, thank you.
That's great. So the reason why Jenny is so special to me, Linda, as you know, is she gave me my...
I think we've all heard this one, but go ahead.
I haven't heard it. Say it again.
She gave me my big break. Yeah. If it wasn't for her, there would be no See You at the Show. All of this that's happening today is the fruit of her poisonous tree.
It's all her fault.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah, it was 9 years ago today when we walked. Wade
really?
And I walked in.
Nine years ago today.
Yeah. And in order for me to give him some courage to act, I had to act. And then she called me up and said, "Hey, want to be the aviator?" And I was like, "Sweet." And here we go. Okay, but we're not being nostalgic. We're looking forward to next week.
Yes, we are.
And you are directing Steel Magnolias, which is just such a special show to so many people.
It is.
And what is your connection to it, or what made you choose to direct the show?
Well, I was asked. And what was real interesting about it is I don't go on stage too much anymore. And when I saw that it was coming up, I thought, ooh, I've always wanted to play Weezer. And then I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm too old. I might forget my lines, you know, the things that we tell ourselves as we age. And then about a month later, I got a text from Phil Strang, and I thought it was a mistake. Because I'm like, what is Phil Strang texting me for? And he said, we were really hoping that you would direct Steel Magnolias. And I was like, yes, because actually I love to direct more than anything else. So that's how it happened. And I do love Steel Magnolias because it involves two of my favorite topics, and that's women and community and how those communities are created.
So. Yeah, so Phil Strang and Mary Welly are producing it.
Yes.
And this is for CUTC.
It is.
That's great.
That was actually one of the questions I had for you guys. It's, what's it like to be in a show that's all women?
Well, it has been amazing. I'm playing the character of Malin. This is Maggie. And I took a long hiatus from acting. I was in many, many, many community productions years ago, and then I had three children right in a row, and have been nurturing their theater careers, but they're all in high school now. And when I saw the auditions for this, I just thought, I have to do this. I've always wanted to play this role specifically. This group of women, I just can't even tell you how special they are. We have clicked so amazingly well. We really gelled together immediately. I feel like from the very first read through we had, and we have become fast friends, and I have enjoyed every single evening of rehearsal. I look forward to it. It has been a wonderful way for me to get back into acting again.
And so this will be the first time your kids have ever seen you perform in anything?
Well,
really, other than
we were in one show together about 5 years ago, my entire family, my husband and I and my three kids. That was a Champaign Park District show, the musical version of A Christmas Story. And that was a really fun thing to do together as a family. But they have never sat in the audience and watched their mom on stage. So I'm pretty excited about
that. Are they all excited about that too?
They really are. Yeah. They really are, yeah. They've been real supportive of me being gone every night, and I think they're proud, and I hope they'll be even prouder once they've seen me perform.
And so, Linda, as the mom of three kids, you should be inspired now to look at our auditions coming up next.
I actually almost auditioned for Steel Magnolias, but I was too busy producing things at the station, and there was no way I could have fit it in. But it was very tempting. It's one of my favorite shows, and I cannot wait to see all of you. And is there any new take that you've done with this, or is it the classic that we all love? Or,
well, it's the classic we all love, but like every director, you have certain objectives that you want to be able to accomplish. One of the objectives for me was to try to have the audience actually be part of the play itself. So with the scene design, I've got windows behind the audience, I've got curtains they have to walk through, I've got the chairs that match some of them on the set, I've got magazines on the audience chairs. It's like we're all in the salon together.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. We were talking before we came in which theater at Parkland you were going to be in. Yeah. And so now I understand why you're happy to be in the Black Box.
Exactly. Exactly. I couldn't have done with this in the proscenium. So, yeah.
Gretchen, you play Clarie.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's obviously a very iconic character. And what is this a show that you're familiar with either as a play or, of course, the movie?
The movie. I first watched it with my daughter, and it was very meaningful for us because my daughter and I have a similar relationship as Malin does to Shelby, with a disease process going on all her life. So she and I are very bonded and kind of tied at the hip, you might say. And Melinda, Maggie, you do such a good job portraying Malin and all the emotional content that's involved.
And I have to say that Gretchen has been so gracious to share her story with me about her real life experience of what I'm going through on stage with my stage daughter. And I really appreciate that very much. And your feedback, it really means a lot to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't imagine what it must be like to tell the story, because just even getting ready for today, when I was reading a review of the play, I got emotional. And so to actually, especially with this sort of connection that you've all formed, it really is special.
We cry every night.
Every night.
At rehearsal.
They really do.
All six of us.
I do too.
So I hope you have Kleenex mixed in with the magazines
between
the seats.
That
I recommend that.
That's a good idea. Yeah, we need to have some boxes out there.
Yeah. At least if everybody is as sappy and romantic as I am.
I'll need some, definitely. And I don't cry very easily, but yeah, this is one of those that always chokes me up. So I can't imagine a live performance being, it's going to be even more powerful, I'm sure. So who are the rest of the characters in the show? We have Maya Hammond.
Maya Hammond, she plays, I'm going blank.
Anel.
Thank you.
And Susan Curtis is Truvy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Susan and I have been friends for quite a long time, and it's been so much fun for the two of us. We've been stage moms together, right, for many years with our kids being in theater. And the chance for us to do this together has been so special. And she is hysterical as Truvy. She has developed a character in a different way than I ever would have perceived Truvy. But, oh my gosh, does she rock it.
She was so I saw her very soon after she was cast, and she was so excited. And it was not the... If she got a part, she wasn't expecting that part.
I know.
And so she was so excited. You've just, yeah, you're amazing on casting.
That's one yes.
Yeah.
I do. That's one of my gifts. I cast well, and I like to give new people chances.
Yes, and that's what she did for me.
Yeah. Is this your first show?
There's two novices, yeah.
I have minimal experience, and yeah, so she took a big risk.
See, so 9 years from now, you'll probably have a radio show about theater. That's the way this works. Jenny finds, she's out there panning in the dirt, and she finds a little piece of gold, and look what happens.
Exactly. And then one of the other characters, well, who plays my daughter, Gabrielle Smith, she plays Shelby. And we have a connection as well, because I live in Mahomet, raised my kids in Mahomet, and she grew up in Mahomet and graduated a couple years ago. The first show she ever did was also my son's first show that in their junior high, and I choreographed it.
Oh, wow.
So we go way back to then, and then I watched her, you know, do her high school shows and always thought she was so talented. And I was just thrilled when I saw that she and I were cast together as mother and daughter, and we've just bonded beautifully.
This is true community theater.
Yeah. Well, Gabrielle Smith is on a hot streak. She was wonderful in No Exit, and then...
Bus Stop,
yeah.
And what's funny about that is she played... Cherie and Bus Stop, and when I was about her age, I played that same role.
Oh, right. I remember you telling us that when we saw you there at Bus Stop. That's fantastic. So what are the dates, Jenny? When is this coming to life?
So it's March 12, 13, 14, and 15, and that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and on, it's at 7 o'clock Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and 2 o'clock matinees on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, great. Five shows. And tickets are available, I'm sure, at parkland.edu/theater.
No, and that's one of the confusing things about it.
Oh, it's CUTC, of course.
CUtheater.org. And a lot of people are going, I've gone to Parkland and I can't find the tickets. So this is
well, of course, our loyal listeners know that they can just go to the See You at the Show Facebook page, where we have links to the event.
Wonderful.
And also seeyouattheshow.com.
Is it better for people to get their tickets ahead of time, or
yes,
can they buy?
Actually, they're selling quicker than usual.
Oh, we need to get our tickets.
Yeah, yes, you do. Actually.
We do. VIP tickets for us, right? Well, thank you so much for coming in to see you at the show. We can't wait for this, and we probably could have given you a whole 30-minute segment, but thank you so much for coming on.
I wanted to add a message to Weezer, who is my counterpart, Cindy Kelly. She's doing a fantastic job.
And the two of them have that really great relationship that you see in the movie.
Oh, is Cindy the other person that is a novice?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Wow, great. That's awesome.
I will bring my I Whacked a Weezer t-shirt. Which I have. Is it okay for me to have that?
Absolutely.
We'll discuss this later.
Okay. All right.
So go. We need to...
Well, good luck with your run. And thanks for coming to see you at the show.
Thanks for having us.
Coming up next, we have an interview with Jackie Lowenstein of Class Act Champagne, who is putting on an interesting show this week. We are here at the Soto Theater with Jackie Lowenstein. How are you doing, Jackie?
I'm doing okay, thank you.
Great. It is fun to be back in the space. A lot of good memories from child productions for years and years and years.
Yes, all kinds of productions, actually.
How long has Class Act been here?
It's almost 11 years. Wow. Yeah. So we're getting ready for our final performances of this season and ever at Soto Theater, as it is going to be transformed within the next few months into a different sort of space. But we're going to focus on what's happening here this weekend.
Right. This is your Showstoppers group.
Yes, Showstoppers.
And what ages and levels of talent
are
those kids?
My most advanced musical theater students. So most of them have been studying with me for a number of years. And we're in ages 9 to 14 for this one. And they've been working together since October. We did a holiday show in December, and then these past couple months we've been working on Polka Dots, the cool kids musical.
I love all your musicals because they always are fun and have really catchy music, but a good message too. So yeah. What's this one about?
Yes, this one is about segregation. And it takes place in a kind of imaginary town where everybody has squares on their faces, and a little girl with polka dots comes to town, and they don't quite know what to make of her. And it's a very thinly veiled metaphor for a period of time that feels like it should be long ago, but unfortunately still feels pretty relevant. And the music is very contemporary, and of course the message in the end is not to judge a book by its cover, and accepting kids who look different, people who look different. And the students have done a great job. We have so many talented kids that we double cast this show, so there are only 17 in the whole cast, but most of the roles are double cast. And so lots more kids are getting an opportunity to shine.
I don't know if I've ever been involved in a show that you double cast
before. I never have.
Yeah, that's exciting.
So. Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. It means you that have means lots of capable kids.
Right.
Outstanding kids.
Our performances are this Saturday and Sunday at 2:30 and 5 o'clock on both days. So
each cast gets to go each day?
Yeah. So nice. We have a 2:30 cast and a 5 o'clock cast. The three leads are not in the other performance because they just have a lot to focus on. So they've been watching, and actually I've been having them take notes during our dress rehearsals.
Wonderful.
And that's really amazing. I've noticed some of them take pickier notes than I do now. I think I've taught them well because they typed up their notes for me the other day.
Oh, nice.
And I was so impressed.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, you're noticing so many details. And so I think that's
a great opportunity to do that part of it,
sort
too.
Of putting on their director hats and also really supportive of their counterparts.
Yeah.
And then all of the other kids who are double cast are in both casts and play ensemble roles when they're not playing their main roles. So kind of preparing them for Central High School for those who are going there, because that's what they do there.
Yeah, the setup for the story sounds almost kind of Seussian in a way, with both the message and then kind of the very simplified way of bringing the message out. Are you doing like anything fanciful with your costumes or with your set?
Mostly it's the makeup. So I have Marissa Schauber, who helped out with the Penguin Project last summer, and she's great with face painting. And so we've had to kind of do a square makeup design for most of the cast. Mm-hmm. And then Lily Polka Dot, who's the circle girl, obviously gets her own special makeup design. And we have to do something with blue hair. The script has all these really specific references about the square kids having blue hair, so we're figuring out how to
are you doing
give
wigs
a hint
or?
Of blue, not wigs. No, we're doing some hair extensions and maybe a little spray and things.
Okay.
We're still figuring that stuff out. So come this weekend and find out what we've done. But
is your music going to be live music again?
Music
is Kat doing
recorded.
That?
They have actually really good tracks. Matthew Ryan Pest has been my music director.
Love Ryan.
We've been so lucky to have him on board. It's been a real treat, especially for these young up-and-coming performers to have his expertise.
Are you taking the show on the road, or is it only going
to be? I have thought about it. We're going to get through this weekend and see. You know, we don't have anything planned past spring break because I knew that we were going to need to vacate this space, but I have thought about whether we might still have a future life for it if we have some opportunities to perform it elsewhere. So I'm going to stay open to that.
Is it a one-act show?
It's one act, yeah. It's about an hour. And I'd say it's great for age 4 and up, probably.
When you have a lot of other things going on, you mentioned the Penguin Project, which we've had you on the show to talk about before, and you're also starring in the Falsettos, which is coming up, I think, in 7 weeks, if my Falsettos countdown clock
Something
is correct.
Like that. Actually, back to Penguin Project for a second. We just announced what show we're doing.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Oh, breaking
so
news.
Speaking of Seuss. You mentioned Seuss. Yeah, we're doing Seussical Jr. this year.
Wow.
Yeah,
so that's so great.
Yeah.
I'll be directing that. And
how many years is this going to be now that you've directed it?
It's kind of confusing because I choreographed a couple years. I co-directed. Last year I directed Frozen. This will be my second year as the main director.
Yeah.
I think. But, I like to have co-directors and
assistance and all, you know, the more the merrier. We, you know, it's always such a great opportunity for professionals to work with this group. So we're still putting together, you know, the whole staff and everything.
When do you guys start rehearsals for?
Usually it's right after Memorial Day. So we'll start getting information out soon about people who want to be in it, applications, and...
Is it an October show? Is that...
Usually it's September. Okay. Yeah, we're looking at. So there'll be a lot more details coming out soon.
Great. Well, get them to us, and we will make the world know about them.
Yes, I will, I will.
And you're also producing a show at the station?
I am. There, Amor Perdido / Lost Love. Stories by Tennessee Williams. So this is adapted by Tom Mitchell, who's a professor at the university, and he's an expert on Tennessee Williams. And this is a workshop production that's going to be taken to some festivals in St. Louis and New Orleans. So they're trying it out first at Station.
Oh, with this exact troupe that he's put together?
Yes.
Wow. And so is that why it's a shorter run than most shows at the station?
Yeah, it's a shorter run. It's got a combination of professors and students from U of I, as well as Gary Ambler and Jai Hofsamer, so our like station veterans. So it's a really cool combination of
talent.
I like
the set so far.
It looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks really neat. It's shutters and doors, and it just looks very abstract and interesting so far what they've done.
So. Yeah, so they've got a whole 4 days in the space to turn it over since I Hate Hamlet closed Saturday.
Right.
Super quick. And
then the river's coming up. So there's a lot of action happening at the station.
Yeah, the station's pretty busy right now.
Yeah, so Thursday night is opening. So we go Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 o'clock. And it's a one act, so it's roughly 75 minutes. Still getting that final running time.
And so by it being workshop, when they take it on the road, then they're going to be doing more, they will be off script. Or is that the way that this show is always just intended to be kind of read?
It's stories. So it's, you know, done more of like a staged reading and it's bringing these unpublished, like never produced, not unpublished, but never produced, previously unproduced stories. And Tom is great at finding this material and giving it life. This is the second time he's done this. He did one a few, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, called St. Louis Stories. And it's lovely. You know, it's really such interesting writing and takes you into this different world. Sometimes dark, sometimes romantic, sometimes, you know, it's kind of, Tennessee Williams has a little of everything. And with these amazing, some professional actors in this group and combination of ages. One of the students, Chloe Cosgrove, is doing the performance here at Station, and then another actress, Amy Tarugno, who's in Cabaret right now, will be doing that role when they take it on the road.
Oh, okay.
So there's had to be a swap out at that point.
Wow. So yeah, there's another week of Cabaret at U of I, and then we've got at the Soto Theater here, we've got Polka Dots with two afternoonish shows each day.
Yeah.
And when is, and the Tennessee Williams Stories, is that run all the way through the weekend?
Yeah, to Sunday.
Thursday through Sunday?
Yep.
Sunday matinee?
And then Machinal has
Oh my gosh,
the
right,
IMC
moves to the IMC.
For, yeah, this weekend too, so.
Must see at the IMC is how I'm going to, when I finally write my review of that amazing, amazing piece
that.
Of art. I will.
So, yeah, so lots of things to do.
In terms of Polka Dots, if anyone wants to see that, you just come 20 minutes before showtime, tickets at the door.
And we will have information on seeattheshow.com and also our Facebook page. And what about, what is the best resource for people to find class act information about the show and then generally?
Yeah, classactchampagne.com.
Great.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you.
And now we have the cast, or three of the cast from Willy Wonka, that's going to be at St. Thomas More High School. We have Cullum Beckett, who's Willy Wonka, and Emily Ritter, who's Charlie Beckett, and Abby Deptula, who's Veruca Salt, right? Okay, cool. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Have any of you been on before? Abby, you have, right?
I have.
Yeah, okay. So tell us a little bit about the show. When is it playing?
Willy Wonka is about a little boy who is played by, who is a girl in our show, named Charlie Bucket. She comes from a very poor family, and in her town, the Willy Wonka chocolate factory is there, and they came out with a contest of 5 golden tickets hidden in chocolate bars around the world, and she finds the last ticket on the last day, and so she gets to tour the factory and wins a lifetime supply of chocolate, and spoiler alert, she wins the factory.
Nobody knows the story. And
Noelle Schacht is also Charlie, and Grace Krebs is also Veruca.
Okay. So you're double cast.
Yes. Those are the only two roles who are double cast.
Nice. Have you double cast before? I don't remember.
We have.
Okay.
We have, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Is that hard being double cast, or is it nice?
It has its ups and downs. Yeah. But ultimately it is nice because it's just less pressure on you to perform 4 nights.
Right. So what 4 nights are you performing?
We perform March 26th, March 27th, and March 28th at 7 p.m. and a matinee on March 28th at 2 p.m.
Yes. So what did you find? Have you guys always liked Willy Wonka? Was this a show that you really wanted to do? Is it new to you?
Well, I've grown up watching Willy Wonka. I've always been a fan of Gene Wilder's adaptations, and I'm not so much of a fan of Johnny Depp's, but you know, we'll look past that. But yeah, Willy Wonka was always a character I'd always been interested on taking on, and he was always so interesting to me. How he's kind of creepy actually, and he wants to find somebody new to make new candy dreams come true. And I had a lot of fun taking on this character, and especially growing up watching Gene Wilder's version of Willy Wonka, it was really cool.
Do you know what your costuming and wig situation? Are you going to be somehow fanciful and different than you look right now?
Oh, I'll definitely be more colorful, I guess you could say. I've got this purple jacket I have for Willy Wonka, and I'm also playing the Candyman. Double cast as a Candyman, and we're doing this really cool, like, stripe, like, red and white striped shirt that, yeah, it's really nice. Cool. The costumes are crazy.
So, Emily, you're playing Charlie?
Yeah.
So, are you playing as a male?
No, we are, since both Noelle and I are female, we decided to change the role to a female, so all of the nice. Pronouns are now her and she, so...
Nice. Was that confusing at all when you're...
At the beginning, yes, it was.
Yeah, but you have it down now. It's all good, right? And is it okay if we have Abby sing a song?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
I last minute asked if they would sing a song. So, you know, be gentle with this. I'm sure they'll be great, but...
So, Abby, set us up. What's happening in the life of Veruca Salt when this song happens in the show?
So this is in the middle of the tour. Two of the kids have already failed their tests, I guess you could say. So I'm coming up on mine, and I really want one of the squirrels that are in the nut room, but Willy Wonka won't let me have one.
They're in training.
So I'm like, I've been asking you for all these things all day.
You're not talking in a British accent. Let's go. Well,
I've been asking for all these things all day, and you won't let me have them. So now I'm going to tell you that I want them. I want them now. I want a squirrel and an Oompa Loompa. I want a squirrel and an Oompa Loompa and a pink candy boat. And while we're at it, I want a feast. I want a pink feast. Cream buns and donuts and fruitcakes with no nuts. So good you could go nuts. Give them to me. Now, I want a ball. I want a party. Pink macaroons and a million balloons and performing baboons and give them to me. Now, I want a party with roomfuls of laughter. I want a ton of ice cream.
And if I don't get the things that I'm after, I'm gonna scream. I want the works. I want the homeworks. Presents and prizes and sweets and surprises.